So we heard the words from Jacob. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it. Now translated to us, surely the Lord was in this place, and we did not know it. One of the things about angels is that they have a very distinct role in our life as a people of God. I went to Trinity College to study, and Michaelmas, which starts with the celebration of St. Michael and All Angels, was a very big deal at the college. It was as big a deal as Easter for the college. I think because it set a tone for both semesters at the university. Angels, they have a role, and we've often distorted that role and put angels in other kinds of garb. But in the tradition of the church, angels are actually separate created beings. In fact, the angels as created beings existed before God made the earth and the heavens and all therein, and humanity. So they have a very specific role, and it is a role that is really marked by creativity. Angels, sometimes we have that image that when somebody we love dies, that they'll go to heaven and that they'll have wings and they will become angels. And we sometimes think about the people who are close to us that we love, and we want to think about them being angels in heaven. But that's really not the angels we're talking about today. I think it is important to know that your loved ones are cherished, deeply cherished by God, and that is important. But we point to angels in two distinct ways. One is that somehow, and this is what our faith teaches us, somehow angels are present to comfort us, especially in difficult and challenging times. They are there to comfort us, to guide us, to walk with us, and sometimes we don't even know they're there, but they are. And in that relationship, we hear in the gospel and in the other readings we heard this day that something powerful happens when that happens. Now there's Jacob. Jacob has just messed up big time. Really big. He has done something very deceitful. And he can't even live with himself, with his family anymore. He has to run away. He has to go away because he feels that his deceit was just so burdensome. How could he possibly be any kind of extension of God's love ever? He even takes a stone and places it on the ground as a pillow. Now, I don't think that's the easiest of ways to sleep. But in his sleep, he has a dream. And I honestly think that our soul is nourished by our dreams. That our dreams tell us something about who God is in our lives. Maybe even healing. So he has this incredible vision of angels ascending and descending. And he awakes, and somehow he now feels the power of God in his life. not only that, this person who messed up big time, who was deceitful big time, God says, I've chosen you to be the family of a great nation. Sometimes we think that the dreadful things that happen in our lives will separate us from God's love, make us less acceptable in God's eyes. And that's just not true. When you think about angels, angels are always there to say, no life is lost, no life is beyond meaning. I remember when I was in Regina and we were in a shared ministry, and the Lutheran pastor was a man with a very full beard and a booming voice. And all the children thought he was Jesus. Whoa. So there I was thinking, okay. And then this little girl came in with her mother. She looked at me and she said, look, Mommy, this church has angels. Now, that little girl was just a little girl, but she knew enough to have open eyes to see where angels might be in her midst, or even want that to happen. I mean, I don't think. But for that little girl to name that, that is profoundly faithful. And it says something that's bigger than us. Sometimes in the church, we get locked up with, we got to understand everything. And it all has to make sense. We can't have our children receiving communion before they understand what it's all about. And we put all sorts of restrictions on what people can or can't do. And it's so clear to me that that's not the work of angels. The work of angels really does try to work with us to bring down some of those barriers, to bring down the things that make us get locked in. Another story was, I was in kindergarten, and I had a dream. And the dream involved a ladder. And I remember the dream, and it was so profound to me as a five-year-old that I wanted to be able to share that with others because I thought it was important in my five-year-old brain. So when I went to my kindergarten class, the teacher gave us some instructions about our painting that day. Well, all I wanted was to paint that dream, to paint that ladder, and it was yellow. We all lined up to show our pictures to the teacher, and I was so excited. I really was so excited. I couldn't wait to show her this, and that she would say, oh, wonderful, wonderful, and that the other kids would say, wonderful. Well, I got to my teacher, anticipation. She looked at my picture and she said, Helen Rose, you did not listen to the instructions that you gave. We are not going to talk about your picture. You're going to go and you're going to lie on the desk. That's how you were punished in those days, that if you were in kindergarten, you have to get on top of your desk and lie down. That obviously stuck in my brain, and I thought, you know, I understand that teacher. She had a plan. She had a way forward with all the kids, and she wanted everybody to follow the rules. But sometimes, when we're going through life following the rules, we have to open ourselves to the possibility that surely God was in this place. Surely God was in this place and we did not know. And if we don't open ourselves like that, we are missing so much. Now, the other role of an angel, we are told in our scripture, is there's the presence, the loving presence of an angel, and then there is an angel as a gateway. There is, and you see it strongly when you hear about St. Michael, the angel, the archangel, cleaning out the evil in heaven. And that this is more than just a prod. You know, this is an angel who is really pushing the whole notion of what is and what is not. And what is of God and what is not of God. It's not about pushing rules. It's about pushing a sense of God is present. And there is a gate towards God. And folk, the angels are prodding all of us to move so that we can discover God in other new and wonderful ways. If we weren't being prodded by angels, if we didn't open ourselves to the possibility of being prodded by angels, we might not know that the Lord is in this place. So we can experience an angel presence in this place, because angels will walk with us in our journeys as individuals, and as a community. And we will also have angels who are around us, who are prodding us, pushing us, encouraging us, opening us, bringing down barriers, telling us there is a gate you have to go through and it goes into the world and you are going to see God there. We're not bringing God to the world. God is already in the world. We just go because the angels have prodded us to go, and we go into the world so that we can discover God and honor that in every way, shape, and form it has. So those are the understandings, I think, of being an angel. And I think we need angels desperately in our lives. We need always to know that we never walk alone, no matter how alone we might feel. And we also know that if God is being God, we are going to get pushed. We are going to have to embrace things that we never imagined we had to. Because surely God is in this place, and we want to know that. Surely God is in the world. We want to know that. That's why we support each other in prayer. We uphold ourselves by sharing holy meals together. There are no set rules, no set regulations, other than to open your hearts and open your minds, and know that in all of that, God is both present and a gateway to something awesome.